So we'll summarize verse number 30 we discussed last week. What are some of the points we discussed?
Desire for profit and have no claims of proprietorship, we let go of Rajoguna. When we don't work with, when we work without any lethargy, we let go of Tamoguna. And then by surrendering all work unto Him and work in full knowledge of Him, that's what He wants us to do.
That's why we should do our duties. So this verse is talking about, what's the main thing about this verse?
What Krishna wants us to do.
He's talking about the consciousness with which Arjuna has to fight, or we should do our duties. So that's the main. He has been telling fight so many times, but now he's telling the consciousness with which Arjuna has to fight. The consciousness should be completely absorbed in Krishna, as a service to Krishna, as a devotion to Krishna. Right? So other points? Any like things which you took home? That's striking.
So there's a homework.
So that's what.
What's the homework?
Part of that
example. So he's. He's trying to. Okay. Yeah.
So two things.
Okay, what was the homework?
So the homework was to think about things in our life, and think that, you know, how futile everything is, right? And then how we have to remember how it. Taking us closer or further away, or it's supposed to take closer to Krishna, right? So 3 days back, my cousin, who was born on the same day as I was, same year, same day, she was born in the morning, I was born in the evening, she passed away 3 days back, right? So, and we were very like good friends and good, she had emotional maturity of like a 10 or 12 year old, because she had so many other problems health wise and all. So she just passed away, right? So I was very disturbed, and I was just sharing with Sahu, and I've been coming to the temple for DYS at least for the past 2-3 years. Again and again, the one thing that's reinforced is, we are not the body, we are the soul. But despite that, the first thing was like immediate onset of like almost quite close to depression, and it's like, oh my God, how is this happening? She's not even 40, how is this happening? And it's stuff like that. Then Sahu is on IM with me, and Lavanya Mataji is also there. So we are in the same office, we are IMing quite to each other, and I was saying that both are immediately saying, you know, how we are not the body, we are the soul, how everything is going back to Krishna. But if not for them, right, I would have been probably not even coming to class today, I would be that depressed. So it was really bad, and that made me realize two things. First is how, when the real test comes, how I'm faltering, and second is the benefit of association, right? Other without which I don't think that thought would have even come to me, right? Because the immediate thing is, oh, my sister, she's almost like my baby sister, she's gone, what is this stuff, you know, all kinds of thoughts, and then all the chain reactions involving with those thoughts, they, and then you're slowly, you keep, you know, your mood starts getting bad. You become all that, if not for Sahu Prabhu and Lavanya Mataji, it would have been a very bad experience. So I realized that also the benefits of association, because without which I would have really struggled. And the second thing is, despite how many other times you keep saying, I'm not the body, I'm the soul, it still doesn't register. It's like, you know, it goes into the brain, but it doesn't go into the heart, or it's the other way around, I don't know. So those are the things that I realized. And to take it a step further, you know, this first hurdle itself, if I'm not clear, then, you know, Krishna is talking about how there's lust, how there is anger, how all those things are there. And then I feel like, oh my God, this is like an impossible task. So that's what I was realizing. I'm sorry, but that's just.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, we have knowledge, but when it comes, as you said, you know, we fail because we don't have that much realization. That's why Mataji was telling all the time, you know, when I hear, I feel I already heard this, you know, what am I hearing? So then, but then, you know, we don't have the realization. So until we have the realization, hearing is the only solution. We have to hear the same thing again, again, again. That's the only way we can, you know, the dirt in our heart gets cleansed only by hearing. It's a simple, it's so simple that we miss the point. We feel like, how can, you know, I'm just hearing what's happening.
3 years plus I've been hearing, yeah, I'm not, starting from the DOS second class, I've been hearing that.
Huh.
So, it's like, you know, you study theory and then you go into the practicals and they give you all the equipment and you go, what the hell is, what is all this kind of thing?
So,
right?
One thing is, okay, we can be, at least theoretically, we can understand, okay, she is not, like, you know, gone forever. She's like a soul and, you know, she has gotten different destination. So to help her, what devotees do when somebody passes away is we can pray that she reaches a destination where she can practice Krishna consciousness or devotional service in some way or the other. So that's what we can serve at this point. And the next thing is, doesn't mean we know that we are not the body, we are the soul, doesn't mean we are bereft of feelings. What you feel is appropriate. Because devotees are actually more soft-hearted than anybody else. Devotees feel for everyone. But in a spiritual way. Like, that this is a spiritual way you can show compassion, right? Because you feel bad that, okay, she didn't fulfill the purpose of life. And she had to leave in the middle. So, you know, we are praying that, you know, she can continue. Right? So, that's the spiritual well-being we can pray for her. And the other thing is, devotional service doesn't mean we don't have affection. It's not like, you know, we don't have affection for family members and all those things. Because the feeling what we have right now is, main problem is, she's no longer in the same body reciprocating with us. So that's the thing we miss.
Mm.
She's there somewhere. But, you know, that relationship we miss. So that's the separation we feel. So that's what pains us.
Yeah, I was saying Swami Prabhu, because that thought didn't come to him because he is closer to her, right? For us,
it's easy to tell any outside people.
So if it was my family, then probably I will feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the outside people are detached.
Mm.
You are attached.
But that's what I'm trying to say, Mataji. So that's the test, right? So that's the first, like, so first thing is, you study in theory and you go to practicals.
Mm.
It's like, you know, here's the burette, here's the pipette, here are all the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Now start finding the reactions. So
like, we don't have much experience, but like, there are many devotees who have many years of experience. They have quoted certain incidents. Like, I'm recollecting one devotee, like, very I don't know how many years of practicing, but see, so called, maybe people consider advanced devotee or whatever, right? So he was going in car and new car, I think I told once, new car, and then it was stuck in the tracks, rail tracks. And he was new car, he was still attempting to, you know, okay, maybe I'll figure it out, how to move it or whatever. But he could see the train coming, exactly. But still, you know, I'll figure it out. Then finally he thought, okay, there is no choice, I'm going to hit it now. And it's not moving. Then he started chanting Hare Krishna, thinking, oh wow, now I think, you know, I'm going to hit, I'm going to die. But luckily, you know, I'm remembering Krishna, so I think I'm going to pass the exam. But suddenly at last minute, he remembers, oh, what's going to happen to my wife and kids? And then it hit and then he fell down.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, he survived to tell the story. But what he recollected is that, you know, it's not easy. We have so much, you know, we are practicing so much to remember Krishna. But we have so much attachment to, and we think, you know, we are maintaining our family members. We are proprietors, you know, we are the ones. So
the examples though, yeah, very severe examples, right? I think even in any given day, normally we have so many mood swings that we don't control, right? When
we don't,
you know,
observe,
you feel bad about something, you know, may not be that level obviously of depression or unhappiness, but you feel bad about something and then you feel happy about something, you know.
Yeah.
If we can't control our daily smaller cycles, you know, the big cycles are so much more difficult.
Yeah. So we don't introspect, basically what point Prabhu is telling us, we just go by our lives. That's what we discussed last time.
Yeah.
Right? We are just going by life, we are not introspecting, you know, what value, I mean, how much I'm investing in eternal benefit versus, you know, day-to-day things which are going to be temporary. And this feeling of, you know, when somebody passes away, suddenly feeling vairagya, actually, you feel, you know, yeah, actually there is nothing in this world, right? That feeling you'll get.
That's what I said, it's the same reaction, so many
so
things.
So that feeling is called actually smashana vairagya. So this is not, I mean, okay, I'm just sharing. So this is normal, like when somebody passes away, especially, you know, there's a gathering, everybody comes to the, Smashana, and then they especially Harilas Prabhu gives classes.
Yeah.
No, everybody is eager to listen in that mood, right? Oh, okay, yeah, the eternality, and we are not the body, we are the soul, all those things. But then that stays only Smashana, only 2 days.
2 seconds.
2 seconds. The moment they come out of that, okay, back to, you know,
normal
life, eating meat, doing everything. So that's, so it'll be good if this vairagya stays like permanently with us.
Mm.
No, then it'll help us actually.
What I was thinking is just telling, when we were coming in the car, we were discussing this, and I was telling, I feel like this frog that is trying to climb out of the well, except that for every step I take, I fall 10 steps. So where am I going to come?
Actually, I will address that feeling, you know, we should not feel depressed or, you know, disappointed, knowing that the goal is so high and goal is so far away, that should not disappoint us, that should not make us into, you know, discourage us.
But see, Mataji, that is one part, right? The second part is, some of the things I still enjoy, the material things, right? And it's like, you know, it's like in a quicksand, you want to go up, but then it's my
fault.
That's
true, that's honesty, that's fine. That's honest, you recognize your position, recognize your attachments, how it's pulling you down. That's good. But what my main point is, you know, we should, knowing that the goal is, that's what we are going to cover in purport, Srila Prabhupada is going to tell in the next verse, actually, the verse we are going to cover. Prabhupada says, you know, without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, practicing devotee should not be worried about defeat or hopeless. The feeling that, you know, I'm so unqualified. Actually, genuine feeling, it will come. Now it's maybe based on moods, we are feeling that, oh, I'm not qualified. Genuinely feeling I'm not unqualified. But at the same time, there is hope. Because the Lord is merciful. That's our hope. Our hope is not based on our strength. Right? If we bet on our strength, then we are doomed. But our hope is because the Lord is merciful and devotees are merciful. That's our hope. That's why that gives us hope, like, you know, okay, let's ask every devotee to pray for us. I'm so fallen, devotees, please pray for me. Then there is chance, right? Okay, so
I'm just talking about this whole thing. Even in day-to-day life or in severe examples, so obviously the initial reaction is always hurt and, you know, anger and, you know, all, you know. But then I rebound a little bit faster, you know, when the realization sinks in, then you start thinking about, okay, you know, we are souls, and, you know, you just think about all the things and all the things that you have read, I rebound a little faster than I used to.
That's
the advantage that I feel like.
Okay. So now we have knowledge to, you know, to easily give clues. How to analyze the situation.
Yeah, try to make myself understand and, you know, I study more and then, you know, just think about it.
Okay, very nice. So, any more homework? Somebody thought about any points? Did anybody homework? So everybody forgot
actually,
homework?
Actually, I always feel that whenever some depression kind of thing comes, I feel like if I'm in the Arjuna's position, because Arjuna's position is more worse than us. Like, we are feeling like somebody is, if something happened to our close relatives or somebody, but Arjuna is, he has to kill him. That is a worse situation than what we are facing. So if I feel like that, whenever I feel the depression, I'll think of Arjuna, that's more worse, so I'm good than that. And always I keep a hope of Krishna will help me in somehow. That hope always I keep.
That's
so
very good.
That way I'll come out of
it. Yeah. That's very good. Always positive.
for me, like we said, it really helps. Like as long as I feel that I am going to make this situation go, I'll somehow make sure that this doesn't happen like this. I'll somehow make sure that I'll do better than this. Or I when I say that,
it works.
I feel very tired. I have no energy. I feel like fight. But then when I say like. When sometimes I go in front of the at home or something, I just cry in the sense when the
give up. Basically, you take complete shelter.
Like,
yeah,
I can't do it. This, I mean, just that's it. I just cry for sometimes, then I feel like okay, I get the energy back. And you'll be like, okay, I just cry. It's not that I have that. I don't have. I sometimes cry that I don't have the bhakti, I don't have that devotion. It's like I somehow feel that I should have that much faith that that he's there, is there to help, right? I don't have that faith. So it's just only thing I can do is cry.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Crying for Krishna is good only. It's not difficult.
I don't know crying for Krishna. I don't know how if I cry that way. I don't think I have that much sense to cry for Krishna yet. I mean, but
yeah,
really
crying for genuinely crying for Krishna is also good.
I have that much.
That's good. Yeah, any homework related to homework? Anybody, Prabhu, Sahu Prabhu, any realizations you thought about Krishna?
I am a contract employee, Mataji. So many times I have been laid up, but you know, I looks like Krishna is helping me to stay here. Somehow I get job back. So again, I think March is the end of my job right now. So let's see how it will
be.
Okay.
And we went to California, right? So we saw a lot of ISKCON temples in that area. And then weather is good too. So sometimes we think, okay, we should go that side, nice weather. But then other side, you know, we realize that, you know, here there are a lot of good activities in the ISKCON, more active, a lot of programs.
Okay, to move to California.
Right.
So that was on 31st night, right? So we were staying in the same of his cousin's house only we were staying. So we wanted to take our whole family to celebrate New Year, just like here, right? So before, Sahu said, we'll all go. Then I said, we'll just go and check whether the temple is open. So we went to two temples and both temples were closed. Then we realized how better this place is, in the sense that, you know, we can
dovetail our propensities. Yeah. We have way to go, somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Homework. Anybody? Okay, your question is? Did anybody open and read this verse or notes? Hare Krishna? Yeah, sure, Mataji.
Contract
Okay.
So that time, like, since you said last week, I'm just memorizing this verse, and I get the purport also twice. And then, but when we went to say to you, he just called me before the time to tell you, we want to have a conversation with me. And then he just offered, so can we go to some Starbucks, have a coffee, and have a discussion? I said, I'm sorry, I won't drink coffee. So then he said, where is it? Nearby restaurant, but can we go for lunch? I said, I'm sorry, I'm kind of like at the wine bottle kind of stuff. And then he said, okay, then you come to my office. Finally figured out this one. So then I went to their office. So I thought, like, why don't I carry this small luggage with me? So I carried out with me. So, and then we just went to my resume and public questions and other things, everything we stole. And then they were about to offer the dangar lady at the office, so would you like to have some coffee or tea? I said, I'm sorry. And then I took the opportunity, like, I told them about something, if they are interested, I checked with them if they are interested or not. And I told them about some of our regulatory principles and about the ISKCON. And then, fortunately, I thought of showing him the Bhagavad Gita. I just showed him. So he is very much impressed and I asked him, like, would you like to have a copy of this Bhagavad Gita? So then, like, he said, yeah, why not? Then, this one is the older one. I told him, welcome to the time to tell you, I will bring you the new book. So that's what happened. So I was very happy, like, at least I was able to talk in that situation, like, about Krishna and then liberated principles and Srila Prabhupada.
Very nice.
Some people are adoring. I'm not a very, devotee, so but still, I took the opportunity and so explained things to him. And then on the interview day, like, he came to the same client's office to introduce me to the concerned people who are going to interview me.
Yeah.
So then, even before that, we met like 15 minutes before. And then I took a new copy of Bhagavad Gita, along with the ISKCON elders and other leaders about who are the Prahlad temple. And then I gave it to him, he was very happy.
Mm.
And invited him to come down and then Sunday program.
Mm.
And then I was talking about the minister, about Bhagavad Gita and that. So, and because I went to Chicago, he did Hindu program, I presented the application. That's what I was doing. So, and then I showed him the picture of Maharaj also, about the acetylene things. So, he was very happy. So, and then I have attended the interview with the Hindu program. But see, I'm looking at the results of the interview.
Okay.
Even in interview also, they asked me, when you get the tired, what do you do? Then immediately I took the opportunity, like, I told him, they're more Indians, it seems to me. So I told him, if you know about this kind, I would like to tell you a couple of things. Like, when I get tired and bored, like, I will leave present my scripture master's lectures for a couple of, like, 5 to 10 minutes, then I will get to church. So that's what I took the opportunity to tell him.
Very nice, Mataji. Thank you for sharing. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mataji, Prabhuji, anybody read the verse?
Yeah.
Mataji read verse. Who all read the verse? You read. You, Prabhu, you didn't read? You read.
He listens. He doesn't.
We discuss in the car.
We discuss in the car. Okay. Credit goes to the people who are traveling the car. You remember, you read the verse?
I didn't read the verse, but I did think about
it. Very good.
Think about it. So.
Okay. Mataji, Prabhuji, you want to share something?
I read other verses, Mother. Like, we're reading the equation.
Okay, that's okay. You share something about the homework.
We're constantly thinking, like,
constantly thinking about Krishna. Oh, very
whatever
good.
Happens,
like,
whatever
constantly
happens,
means whenever we feel something is happening, not in our hands, I'll always pray Krishna first. It's not in my hands. Please help me, Krishna, for this situation. How can I handle? So,
very good.
Sometimes it works, Mother. Sometimes it won't. Maybe.
That's
okay.
Yeah, we don't know how Krishna is.
One of the point what you said is try to step back and then understand, try to figure out what is that Krishna is trying to make
message.
So few, like, lot of things we think that we need to be more tolerant.
Mm.
And then there was one small experience, I don't know if it is apt here.
You can share. Yeah.
Like last week Amar Bhakta Prabhu came, right? So Srinivas Prabhu called me and said, can you pick him up from airport?
Mm.
I said, I don't go to airport much, like I went only once or twice. And he said, you should park in near the arrival and then pick him up out there. I said, how can we park? Police will come and then ask her to remove, right? He said, no, don't worry, just go. I said, can someone come? Because I'm not so familiar with the routes and all this. I called 4 Prabhus that day, evening. No, everyone said, I wish I would come, but something is there, like have some service.
Okay.
So what we felt is, he said, give one last try. Or else maybe Krishna wants you to try it as it is. Go once, what is there? Then last I tried one by Prabhu, he said he has some service. Then I thought, okay, finally I'll go with kids. Luckily, generally I do mistakes while exits. Every time I do some mistake there. This time I went perfectly, I parred everything, got trouble, came home very well. So we thought that Krishna wanted us to do it independently, he is there to guide us. So what is there to guide us?
Very nice.
Okay.
So I want to share. So I have a friend of mine, so we are really good friends, but I got a little more into spirituality and she is still, you know, so she moved away to California a few days back, and I was like really heartbroken because I used to spend a lot of time with her. But then I started But then, so whenever like weekend would come, you know, she would ask me, okay, do you want to go to a movie or, you know, let's go out, eat out, or let's go shopping. Like, you know, she was my best shopping friend. So I used to waste so much of time, and I would always want to self-study, but, you know, I would always, you know, she would call me and I would always get fascinated. I was like, okay, let's, you know, and then I would never end up studying. So then I started thinking maybe that's the Krishna's way to, you know, show me, you know, and now I'm finding more time to do self-study and stuff like that. Although I still feel bad that she's not here, but I feel like maybe Krishna is showing me the way, you know. I'm finding more peace with myself and, you know, with the studies.
That's very good. So you're turning that opportunity to, you know, favorable to Krishna, the devotional service.
Yes. Yep.
That's very good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we'll continue from today's we had enough discussion. Okay. Text number 31, we'll continue with this verse. So this text number 31, Krishna is talking about, you know, if we act in this consciousness as mentioned in text number 30. You know, that's the crux of the, you know, Prabhupada says in the purport, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So if we act in that way, what is the result? And the next verse 32, Krishna tells, if we are not, you know, acting in that way, or if you don't follow such instruction, what happens? So he gives both. You know, if you follow this instruction, what's the result? If you don't follow that instruction, what's the result? So 31 and 32, hopefully we'll cover today. Their duties according to my injunctions as mentioned in the earlier verse and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. So Krishna is giving blessing here. So those who do their duties according to injunctions which are mentioned earlier, and another characteristic is another criteria is you should do it without envy, then, and also teaching faithfully, basically do faith with faith and without envy. Something positive, something negative. Then the result is they will become free from bondage of fruitive actions. That means all this, you know, karma bandha. Karma bandha, they will be free from karma b. Bondage of fruitive actions. Okay. We did the purport.
The injection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injection without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness.
See, this is what we are discussing, right? So first section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is telling, you know, this injunction is eternal. no, it's not that it's applicable only for today or you know, it's applicable only for Arjuna time, right? So this is, as we discussed, right, it's not, we just go, we don't go away saying, oh, this is a nice verse, but this is a nice verse which we can apply also, right? Practically we can apply. So that means it's eternal wisdom. And the second point is how we should do follow this injunction, right? One is we should have firm faith and we should not have envy for the Lord. You have to have faith in the Lord and at the same time we should not have envy. Then Prabhupada is telling, you know, many philosophers, they write comments on Bhagavad Gita but they don't have faith in Krishna. So the result is, you know, as Krishna is saying, you know, they will not become free from bondage of fruitive action. So, you know, they write commentary, everything, but what's the point? Ultimately, you know, they will not get themselves free from reactions. Okay, now this is the crux. So the ordinary man, like all of us, with firm faith, even though unable to execute such orders, become liberated from bondage of law of karma. So if you look at these orders, right, it's so high. That's what we discussed, you know, it's unreachable. Surrendering all your works unto Krishna, full knowledge of Krishna, how much knowledge we have. Even theoretically, we don't have full knowledge. And also, you know, free from passion and ignorance, without desires for profit, without limit. It's such a, you know, it's like almost, you know, full surrender kind of thing. So Prabhupada also is, acknowledging that even though we are not able to execute such orders, but what is the criteria? Criteria is faith, and we are not resentful for this principle. That means we don't have resent. What is resentment? Resentment means hatred, right? Or, you know, dislikement. So we are favorable for this. You know, we think, take this as a goal. We know it's not reachable right now, but we are so favorable that we want to make this as our goal, right? So that's what it means, not being resentful. That means I know, okay, I accept these statements and I want to make this as my goal. Then what we do? We work sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness. So knowing the goal is so far away, that should not make us, give us, you know, depression or, you know, hopeless, that we don't even endeavor. Then we lost the whole point. The goal is so high, should encourage us to be more determined, right? It's so high and so far that it's going to take a lifetime. So at least this life, let me be, you know, fixed up. It should make us more determined and more, you know, sincere. It should not be reverse. Then it's in the mode, then we are acting in the mode of ignorance. Lethargy is always in the mode of ignorance. That's yet another excuse to, you know, not take up Krishna consciousness. That's all it is. You know, Maya's another trick to trap us. No, goal is so far away. You know, you're so humble. You're so unqualified, actually, you know. Maybe not this life. You know, next life. Next life will be better qualified. You can take it.
Not resentful of this principle.
That's the last verse. The principle of, you know, the consciousness with which, the, you know, complete surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So these two verses are about that verse. 30.
I was thinking of an analogy for the last verse, right? So one thing I was thinking of is like trying to put dust in your eyes with eyes open. You can't do that. It's almost like that. That's what I was thinking. In the sense that it's almost impossible to do what he wants in verse 30. That thought struck me last class also. Even when I was sitting, even before I received the news and I was thinking about it, it's like he wants too much. That's what
exactly,
so,
yes.
It's literally like trying to put dust in your eyes, trying to keep open your eyes, right? You want to do it, but your eyes automatically close. Right?
But if you, if you want to do it, it's, but Srila Prabhupada said it's possible. It's possible. All it takes is sincerity, that's all. The sincerity, and sometimes it may take, that's why Prabhupada actually, you know, there is one verse in Nectar of Instruction where there are principles of devotion service, or, you know, things which are favorable. ಉತ್ಸಾಹ ನಿಶ್ಚಯ ಧೈರ್ಯ ತತ್ತತ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಪ್ರವರ್ತನ ಯಾ ಓಕೆ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದಿಸ್ ಮಚ್ ಸೊ ಉತ್ಸಾಹ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎಂಥೂಸಿಯಾಸಮ್ ನಿಶ್ಚಯ ಡಿಟರ್ಮಿನೇಷನ್ ಪೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೇನ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಯು ನೋ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ನೀಡೆಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿವೋಷನ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸಸ್ ಎಂಥೂಸಿಯಾಸಮ್ ಇರ್ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಪೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಸಿ ಇಟ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಕಾಂಟ್ರಡಿಕ್ಟರಿ ಓಕೆ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎಂಥೂಸಿಯಾಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸೋ ಫಾಸ್ಟ್ ರೈಟ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಪೇಷಂಟ್ I am enthusiastic to put in my effort fully and at the same time I am patient to wait for Krishna's mercy for the results. It may take many lifetimes or you know, that's you said, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
That's what I am correlating.
Yeah. So we should be enthusiastic with the same, no, just because we are not getting results, it should not make us less enthusiastic or not make us lazy or you know, faithless or hopeless. That's why association of devotees helps, right?
That is the one.
That's the only
chain that will
pull us out. Because on our own, we just go with our mind. You know, our mind is crazy and everywhere. That's what no Arjuna is going to ask later on in this chapter. You know, Krishna, why do people do sinful acts as if forcefully? You know, they don't want to do willingly, but somehow they end up doing as if you know some force is acting on them. Then Krishna says, you know, it's lust. Because of lust, it's happening. So then, no, and Krishna then tells, you know, lust is our enemy. Where does the lust reside? He gives, you know, the places of the enemy to reside. He says it's mind, intelligence, and senses. This is where the lust. So you know, when we are on our own, and we are listening to our mind, if it's not pure enough, of course it's not pure enough. It's we are just acting on lust. No, just it takes away from Krishna.
Mind intelligence also, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't apply this, why will you come here? Like one of this is directing us to come here, right?
One of this is
like intelligence.
Yeah, to some extent it's purified. It's not fully contaminated. To some extent it's purified, so it's helping us.
But notice the order of words. It's not fully contaminated. It's not fully pure. It's not fully contaminated.
You were saying something.
Yeah, no, just I have a question. But here Krishna is saying, like, don't wait for the result, or don't expect the result or something, right? Without any result.
Without any
fruit of
action. Yes.
So, but if we are doing it, like, if I want something and I'm saying that it's not working my favorably to me, then I'm still like there's fruit of action, right?
Yeah.
So the fruit of action shouldn't be there. I mean, whether I get it or not get it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but I'm going to just do my thing.
Yes.
So that shouldn't be there, right?
Yes.
So, like, sometimes it works favorably, sometimes it doesn't. But then have the faith that whatever it is.
So this fruitive mentality is ingrained actually in us. For every small thing, we expect, you know, something. We never do things which are, you know, selfless or which are dutiful. This mentality, like, you know, this is mode of passion. Fruitive mentality means like what is in it for me, that's what it is. Everything we want, everything, even one, if you want to come to class also, you know, what is it in, I don't know what all we gain, but
everything,
yeah, something or the other is there. Either, you know, people will appreciate me that I'm a good student, or teacher will appreciate me, teacher will quote my name, or so many things, so many ways.
I think
we expect
know,
something for us.
I think we know only that way to kind of something. So I feel that's the only thing I know.
Yeah, that's there since lifetimes that mentality is there. So to purify that fruity mentality, it's going to take lot of you know, purification through devotional service. Actually, what we the most embarrassing thing is we see that this fruity mentality creeping in into our devotional service as well. No, while chanting or while doing service to devotees, all those things, we expect things. Then we feel so disgusted. It's like, you know, why can't I do things just for the Lord, just to please the Lord or just to please the devotees? We can't do. We see that, you know, it's so impossible to get rid of these tendencies. That's when, you know, we start becoming humble and, you know, praying for mercy. That actually, that's the only hope. Praying and begging for mercy, as you mentioned. Then, you know, we get lot of mercy. When we feel, you know, we cannot do on our own, that's when we feel hopeful actually. As you said, you know, when we feel we can do it, you know, we are just going on the path of when we feel,
if we ask for mercy, isn't that fruiting? Isn't that fruit?
No, we are asking for mercy. Yeah, one way we are expecting something, but it's not fruitive. Is more towards sense gratification,
okay.
Actually. But if we ask for mercy for some, you know, some work to job to work out, of course for Krishna consciousness that's good. But for something else, for sense gratification, then it's not good. But real independence is complete dependence on the Lord.
Mm.
This is a statement Prabhupada gave.
Mm.
It doesn't mean dependence on the Lord means, you know, now I'm, you know, am I being fruitive or am I a parasite?
We are parasites, we just don't realize it. Right?
Yeah.
Everything is his. So.
Mm. But we are completely, you know, to depend completely on the Lord is not easy. It's quite far away actually. Even for small things also, we don't know how to depend. We still try to figure out ours. But we are completely dependent on the Lord. So,
Mataji, then, sorry.
Oh. So, you say our attitude creeps it into even our spiritual activities. And then why do devotees keep praising the other devotee? Like everything you do, right? You are such elevated. I'm just telling you. So, unnecessarily, they are introducing it also, right?
It's their service, or rather, you know, for their purification, it's good for them to praise you. But for your purification, it's good for you to not take it as you.
But then they are, in fact, like.
So they don't mean to pull you down.
Correct, they don't mean, but unnecessarily, you are uplifting someone. No, every time I see someone praising God. So one is, yes, yes, I did that. You'll get the feeling sometimes or the other.
So that's so, you know, the devotees create environment such that, you know, it's more and more,
like
it requires, with more test.
We are not even there to take the test.
Exactly,
right?
So it requires that much sincerity to accept that, right? Some people who are not sincere can go away with this and they live a life just getting that pats. Right? That's what they need. Maybe, you know, that's what they need from devotional service.
No, like they don't want to see negatives in you. They want to like more impose your positives. That is the reason.
Hmm.
What I wanted to say is that you understood my question, right?
Yeah. No, what you should see from both sides, right? See, for us to praise other devotees is actually that's actually way to purify ourselves.
Praise? Why do we need to praise?
But genuinely, we should praise, not.
In front of them. If you want to praise, you can praise sincerely to yourself, right? You can think about it, right?
No, in front of them also, if you praise, your ego gets down. That's one way of to becoming humble. That's one of the practical way to become humble is to genuinely praise. Not an artificial way, you know, just to flatter so that you can get something from them. Genuine way. Actually, if you genuinely praise somebody, you will notice that actually you will become more humble. Hardly many people have that quality actually. Actually, I don't see devotees praising so much. Maybe initial days you see, after some time, you know. Devotees are very ready to, you know, correct and.
I've seen so many times, Mataji, whenever whatever the services we do, some people come, oh, thank you. It doesn't make sense, right? We are not doing it for you. We are doing it for Krishna. People should say, stop our saying thank you for whatever the services anyone does, right?
You should talk to Prabhu who takes.
Namavrata Prabhu.
No.
It's not just Namavrata Prabhu. In general, if you do any services, somebody will.
Say sentence, I forgot that Prabhu's name. He takes class on Sunday evenings here. Yeah. Somebody asked him the same question. He answered it. You should talk to him.
Okay.
It's not going to be a good answer that you're expecting. So,
what is wrong in saying thank you? Because
okay,
it's nothing wrong. Okay, we've been distracting.
Sorry. So my question was that you talked about the fruity results, right? For example, I am here to learn Krishna. That's my selfishness because I want to learn. So is it wrong?
It's not wrong.
Selfishness?
That is real selfishness, or rather, real real selflessness. See, what is, because you are now investing on your. Knowing that you are soul, right? You are investing towards that end. So that is true selfishness, or that's what is needed.
That's required. Okay.
That's required.
Okay.
But just the desire that Krishna, I want to know about you, I want to come closer to you. That's good. That's good. Okay. So this example, right, where Prashil Prabhupada is telling, you know, even though we are unable to execute such orders, but just with faith we continue. So there is an incident during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu time where, you know, one Brahmana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw one Brahmana reading Bhagavad Gita in front of a temple. But he was reading Bhagavad Gita upside down, like ulta, and then he was crying. Then Mahaprabhu comes and asks him, why are you reading Bhagavad Gita? Like, you know, you seem to be reading Bhagavad Gita, why are you reading upside down? Oh, he said, oh, sorry, I'm illiterate, I don't know how to read. But just my spiritual master asked me to read Bhagavad Gita every day, so I'm just trying that, that's all. No, I'm just attempting to follow that instruction. Then he said, then why you are crying? You know, I don't know, whenever I see the photo of Krishna in the chariot, and, you know, driving the chariot, and Arjuna is sitting behind, and Arjuna is, you know, directing him, I feel tears. You know, how can this Lord, Supreme Lord, take such a menial position to serve his devotees? I feel so much, I have so much feeling for the Lord, that he is so much cares for his devotees. Then he said, you know, you don't know how to read Bhagavad Gita, but you got the import of Bhagavad Gita. You got the essence of Bhagavad Gita because of your faith in following your instructions of your spiritual master. So that's what it is. Like, you know, if we are faithful to our spiritual masters and our, you know, acharyas, then even though we are like, you know, tiny, you know, we don't know, we can't do much, but we can be, because of their mercy, we can become qualified. Not on our own, but because of their, they are powerful. Because they are powerful, it's going to help.
Like in the previous verse, that the teachings, that or any of the teaching, what I felt like, whenever things are under control, I will try to, it's very easy for me to find the reason, okay, yeah, Krishna is trying to me, either directing like positive side or negative side. If things are little out of my little foundation of my control, then it's tough. Tough to go into that question itself, really Krishna is asking me something or not. My faith will shake, first of all.
Mm.
Okay,
mm.
Faith is gone, then something else. My negative side will go very fast.
Very fast.
Once the things are out of your boundary.
Yes.
Once you are under the boundary, you can make 100 reasons.
Yes.
So what I felt is there is a deficiency of faith. Means before any intellectual things.
Yes.
And that is the first attacking point once your things are out of your
control. Actually, faith is a measure of our Krishna consciousness. How do we measure Krishna consciousness? If we want to say somebody is advanced, somebody is not advanced, how do we measure? It's not the activities they do, or, you know,
knowledge
or nothing, scholarship versus their quote, nothing. It's the amount of faith. That's what makes somebody advanced or less advanced. That's what is the difference. So we all know we don't have that much faith. As we grow in devotional service, our faith is supposed to increase. So how do we increase our faith? That's the question. How do we increase our faith?
Service, devotional service.
Basically, you know, actually these tests will help us more to increase our faith, much more than anything else. Because when we go through those tests and survive them and take shelter of Krishna through those tests, then we see that actually our faith jumps up like anything. Because those are the tests Krishna gives personally to, you know, raise us higher. As we said, you know, everybody faces this situation, it's not you. Everybody, at whatever level of Krishna consciousness they are in, they face the tests which are beyond them. That's what it is. No, it's not that, you know, it's going to get over at some point. You know, because we all want to be in our comfort zones. That's, you know, where we feel peaceful, happy. But devotional service requires that extra amount of, you know, Krishna wants to see that bhakti. That, you know, you choose me beyond anything else. That's what we discussed last verse, right? How much he is demanding. That you choose me beyond anything else. That's what he wants. So at the end we have to say, you know, Krishna, I want you, but nothing else. Then Krishna starts reciprocating. So faith also increases in the association of devotees, especially more and more when we associate with advanced devotees, especially like, you know, the way practically we are not that advanced, but you know, with the gathering we are getting some faith. But you know, other than weekly once, you know, we can listen to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's lectures, no kirtans. We listen to so many Maharajas. No, they are so advanced. They are so pure. Actually, so pure. The, you know, just as I said, right? One lecture, if you listen, you will feel all your questions answered, or you know, all your doubts cleared. So much potent because of their purity. So we should make it a daily practice, like, you know, to some way or the other. Initially, when we had kids, almost, you know, all our whole schedule, everything changed, right? The whole thing, we have to as if pretty much restart, start from scratch. You know, if I'm coming first from Krishna consciousness right now, what will I do? It's like that. Everything we have to start from scratch. So I have to figure out time for do everything, time to chant, time to hear, time, some way or the other I have to figure out. So then initially it was impossible, like, you know, how will I ever hear, or how will I, chanting was also so difficult. But then somehow if you have the desire, you find time. You can, then I figured different things, like, you know, phone, just play and leave it on the speaker while doing things in the bathroom, like filling the bottles or something. With this 5 minutes I will listen. Then while cooking I will listen something here and there. But if you have the desire, somehow or the other you can listen. We may feel, oh, I'm so busy, packed up, where will I time for me to sit 1 hour and listen? You don't have to sit 1 hour and listen. You keep playing the lecture in the car while going, commuting somewhere. So many, if you just have a desire, Krishna will show the way to do it. Actually, that's what I feel, you know, we have so much capacity to do so much service for Krishna. But we are limiting ourselves, thinking, you know, we are not capable, or because of our sense gratification. Mainly because we indulge so much in gratifying senses, we don't find time for Krishna. But once we find time for Krishna, we feel like, you know, oh, I've done enough for Krishna, this is enough. Okay, all day I'm doing this, is enough. We don't want to stretch. Actually, I'm speaking to myself, you know, before having kids, right? We felt like whatever we could do, that's all. Morning to evening, everything is packed up. We get up, do Mangalarti, chant, nice, whatever, nicely, however, go to work, pleasing spiritual master, so-called, and everything. Okay, then, you know, this is all our life is. But actually, you know, this is, that's what, you know, if I have to say my homework, if I have to reflect on the homework, right? After now, you know, when I reflect, I feel, you know, kids are a blessing actually, because they have helped us so much to go beyond our comfort zone. So much testing our faith, so much how much, you know, we can keep up our Krishna conscious activities, because there's so much excuse we could give. But why we are still doing it? No, we have to find that reason, you know, why we are still chanting. If we don't have that that strongly, it's easy to give up, right? If you don't have it fixed that, okay, I'm doing it for Krishna, see, when situation changes, I may give up. So yeah, so many, even now, you know, they keep pushing us to the limits, you know, so many qualities, you know, we feel we are lacking. So many ways, you know, day-to-day things, we can take it as, you know, favorable to Krishna consciousness that way. And that Krishna is helping us bring closer, making us bring closer to him. One incident I can share actually. So initial days of Krishna consciousness, like just 1 year of Krishna consciousness maybe, and this our mentors who brought us into Krishna consciousness. So I'm supposed to be so grateful and so much, you know, indebted to them, but obviously I'm not, right? So there was one incident where, you know, we were all taking bus to the same metro to workplace. So then something happened. Prabhu had to go to temple inside. Bus we take here only, right? Just opposite temple. So Prabhu had to go inside the temple, get something or check something out there. But I was waiting at the bus stop already, and Prabhu was somewhere and he was supposed to come. So suddenly he said, you know, why don't you go and check? You know, check that thing. But I was so, you know, so-called rigid in practicing chanting. You know, I had this thing, you know, before entering my workplace, I have to finish my 16 rounds. So-called rigid, right? That's seemingly such a good practice. But you'll find out, oh, it's not good. So then, but I was so rigid that, you know, I felt I may not be able to do. So I told very clearly, you know, I will not do. Very nicely, very straightforward. So Prabhu is so nice, you know, he didn't mind. So that incident got over and I reflected myself and figured out, you know, at least I should be grateful to do it. At least I should be so grateful that I should do it, irrespective of chanting nouns or whatever. Then later on, because he's so kind, in later discussion, later on, he was pointing out, he was so kind actually, so many things he was sharing, you know, how I can improve my devotional service. So he was telling, you know, one thing Krishna likes is being flexible. Okay, we can chant our rounds, we can do this, but you know, Krishna likes to see that we are flexible to do service, whatever he wants, he gives us. Okay, I may be chanting for him, but you know, Krishna is saying, oh, we do some other service, I should be ready to do it, right? So, okay, then, but now after so many years, now when we have kids, understood that, you know, that's what Krishna is forcing me to improve. Now I cannot say, you know, 4 to 6 every day in the morning, I'll sit and chant my 16 rounds, right? So, this, if we hadn't have, you know, this situation, I don't think I would have ever learned this quality. Because we were already, you know, whole day was packed and we were already, you know, so set up. We did all things possible to get up in the morning and go night. If suppose some program is there, getting late, we'll do everything possible to, you know, not do it. Maybe going towards more rigidity, I don't know. So this is, so Krishna finds ways to purify us. That's what the main point.
So
all we have to do is,
how would we identify which, what's the service that Lord Krishna is giving us more? Like in your case, you knew kids not so pure, so this is coming through him. But you might be encountering several situations where something is more for you, for your own benefit than as a service. How would you make a choice, or how would you identify that, yes, you should do this instead of your chanting? I mean, there can be some cases. I'm not saying that's always the...
Yeah, most of the time, right now, we... No. Even though I'm calling, you know, this is my service, but while doing that service, so much I'm doing it for me. So that's what is purity mentality. We, in the namesake, we do service, but you know, the consciousness is not really service. Okay, this is a deeper aspect. Maybe it's too confusing, I'm not sure. Right? You got the point? See, even like, for example, cleaning vessels in the temple, people may say, oh, he's doing service. But I may be doing so many things for myself there. No, oh, I want to be recognized as a person cleaning vessels, name, fame, or, you know. Or, you know, if I had a fight with my wife, that's why I want to get some time off. Whatever it is. So many ulterior motives. It's all combed with ulterior motives.
To change your consciousness while you're serving.
But then the only thing is, just keep doing that service. It purifies the consciousness.
Start thinking something different or what? I don't know.
No, just doing the service, chanting, following the principles of devotional service, that purifies the consciousness. Actually, after years later, you realize that, you know, I'm no longer thinking like that. I'm no longer chanting for something. I'm no longer serving for something. You'll realize, actually. So, in general, it's at least some things should be very clear. Which are service to Krishna, which are not service to Krishna. That should be very clear. Like, for example, that should be clear,
so,
right?
So I think something that could help would be like, if our prescribed duties are coming in the way of chanting, then it's a form of service only, and we should not like deprioritize that instead of chanting, right? But if it's something for entertainment or for just for your sense of gratification,
right,
then
yes,
it is not a service.
Yes.
Is that
That's correct. Yeah.
Kind of a logic.
Yeah, so anything for sense gratification is obviously you cannot put it for service to Krishna.
But a duty would be
exactly
that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good.
Somebody may say it's duty for me to enjoy a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say that again is not so easy to
you know, let me take a break, watch a movie for 1 hour, you know, then I'll be fresh to chant.
I mean, in a way you can justify that, right?
Exactly.
If you're dead tired, need some rest.
Okay.
Mind is very smart.
So then what Srila Prabhupada is assuring is, if we do it without the resentment and with faith and without defeat and hopelessness, we'll surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is assuring us, you know, don't worry, surely we'll be promoted. Actually, similar verse is Abhiched Sudhuracharo. Seventh chapter, ninth chapter. 9:30. So the point, I don't know whether I answered Amit Prabhu. So the only thing what we can do, just stick to the process of devotional service, that will raise our faith. So we don't have to be disappointed, or you know, and tests will always be beyond us.
Sure.
So we should not become faithless and you know, stop the practices, because that's the one which is going to bring us up. So 9:30, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly, because he is properly situated in his determination. So you know, where Prabhupada is saying that we are just attempting, but you know, this bar is so high, we are not able to do. But just Prabhupada saying, just stick to it, right? So that's what Krishna is saying here. Even if one commits most abominable action, now just imagine what most abominable action could be. If he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered saintly. Krishna is telling you, treat him as a saint. Because why? Because he is situated in his determination. Means he is determined in practicing devotional service. So the devotional service is going to just purify him. He has these tendencies, he has this conditioning, he has this, you know, habits. But because he's fixed in determination in devotional service is going to eventually purify him. So don't offend him. So that's what we are in. We are, you know, we feel hopeless because of our conditionings, because Swami Prabhu, because of our, you know, habits, we feel hopeless. But because, you know, we know the power of devotional service. We know the devotional service is potent. Devotees are potent. That should give us hope to continue.
So what to say, you know, just, so we know Kharpur, Sahu Prabhu and Kharpur. So, just this Ekadashi, right? Like, I don't take coffee in Ekadashi because coffee grains, right? So I try avoiding it. Till the next day afternoon, I have severe headache. I can't, it's like I can't do, I can't think clearly also. Only after that morning coffee is there, I become a little bit alert. So, I don't know when I'm going to come up, but it's a fight. At least one day I can fight, that's all.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Actually, your sincerity is much more than all of us, you know, so much. Krishna appreciates you much more, much more, because you know it's not easy to go beyond our conditionings. It's not easy.
So devotional service includes chanting, reading,
hearing. We have nine processes of devotional service.
Yeah, the kirtan,
shravanam, kirtanam, visvasaranam, achanam, vandanam,
dasyam,
sakyam, atmanivedanam. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, 32.
Abhyasuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam sarvajnana vimodasan vidinashtana chetasa etva etad abhyasuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam sarvajnana vimodasan vidinashtana chetasa.
But those who, out of envy, disregard these teachings and do not follow them, are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection.
Do you have regularly in your voice, Mataji?
No.
Interesting, we have regularly.
Regularly.
But those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their
It's not there. Actually, it's there in the word to word. If you do word to word, anutishtanti, for me, I also have regularly performed. But this one is not there. I don't know if the latest book, they keep editing, make it more and more precise to what Prabhupada wants.
Yeah.
So I think, this is a very, very old version, 10 years back, when I came to Krishna consciousness. So, but what Krishna is saying here is, but those who, out of envy, disregard these teachings, so what will happen to them? They have become bereft of all knowledge, they become befooled and ruined in all their endeavors for perfection.
So what is, you say envy, right? What is the envy of the Lord? How does it express?
Yeah, I also feel like, we don't have that, like,
wow.
I mean, what does that mean? Like, we know He's supreme, how can we envy Him? Like,
no, that's why we are all here, right? That's the reason we are
all
here.
Yeah, that's all right, we are here. But like on a day-to-day basis, I don't feel that I feel envy for God. I don't know.
Yeah. So, very practical way to see our envy for Lord is whenever we feel envious of anybody else, that's a reflection of our envy for the Lord. That's very, very simple way. Like, because anybody else is manifesting their... whatever good thing they're manifesting, it's all the potency of the Lord. If somebody is excelling in some service, or somebody is excelling at work, or somebody is excelling in cooking or whatever, this is all due to Krishna's potency. That's Krishna is empowering them. And if we feel envious of them, essentially what we want is, I want that position. I want the person to be glorified. But how can that person be there? That's what we are feeling basically. That means we want to become Krishna. So we see it very practically, especially it becomes more painful when we see it with devotees. When we feel envious of devotees, it's even more tough because, it's very dangerous. But that the envy is so ingrained, Krishna will show it to us one day. If you are not seeing right now, means it's just covered, we are not purified enough to see it. But it's very there. It's very much there.
But how do you overcome it?
How do you overcome envy? Practically we can do so many things. Especially if it's with respect to devotees, we can glorify them. We can serve them. Especially if with one person, you constantly feel envious. I went through it. It's so tough.
We feel envy because we feel that I have to get it.
Exactly.
That the person got it.
Yes.
How come he got it and I didn't get
not
it?
Not necessarily that we would get it, but somehow there would be some envy, right? I don't know. I don't have a bad reason why I feel envy, but somehow with three people we feel something like uneasiness or some kind of enviness.
I think it's kind of a basic feeling. We always want to feel superior to the other person. So if somebody is better at us with anything, whether talent, quality, any way of doing things, that's when you feel envy, right? Why is he doing better than me?
So for the devotees,
that's the practical life, right? But we don't talk about the God because we know that they have superpowers. We can't expect the same powers.
People still think that I am better. Everybody should be.
Okay, practically, how we can be envious of God is whenever we fail in following His instructions, or whenever we disregard His teachings. We can take it as an indication that we are envious of the Lord because we don't want to follow Him. If we accept that He is superior, really superior, and He is there our well-wisher, we should not have any hesitation in following His instructions. Whenever we disobey His instructions, whenever we don't have that much faith, we feel, it's my friend telling me or what. I don't know. We put Him down, basically.
Even
that's why, out of envy, you don't follow. That's what Krishna is saying.
So, Mataji, even questioning the authenticity
of exactly.
Envy,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we don't easily take to it.
Yeah.
It takes us a long time
exactly.
to adhere to this. That in a way is envy.
It's all envy. That's why Krishna says, because you are non-envious, Arjuna, I am giving you this knowledge. That's one of the quality to actually accept transcendental message. Non-envious of the Lord. And Prabhupada said, to understand the import of Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically, you should accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, as a fundamental point. No, theoretically, you accept that, you know, he is Supreme Lord and you are subordinate. Then you start understanding Bhagavad Gita, at least something. But you start with saying he is my friend or he is, you know, we both are one and we both merge into one. You know, then it's gone. Yeah. Yeah, envy is one of the six enemies, right? It's going to take a lot of time, purification. So how do we purify enviness? It's like with practically with devotees, there's so many things we could do. Like, you know, we can serve them. Whenever we feel envious of certain persons, we can serve them.
Outside of devotees,
we can take it as, you know, if there is, take it as reflection that, you know, Krishna is indicating to me, I still have envy. So we can work more diligently, apply our devotional services. Take it as a homework, you know, okay, I still have this envy, okay, Krishna, please, you know, purify me of these qualities. So I can be more pleasing to you. You know, this is a very nice sentiment. We can pray to Krishna to remove our bad qualities and give us wonderful devotional qualities so that when we come before Krishna, he will be pleased to look at us.
He's with me, he's going to have a very tough job.
Got it? It's a very nice thing, right? No, I have this so much contamination and I myself am so disgusted. I don't even want to see this contamination in me. Obviously, Krishna, you wouldn't like to see me like this. That's what darshan. Darshan, we feel, you know, I am going to see the Lord. But actually, darshan means Lord is seeing us.
Mm.
We are coming before the Lord, presenting ourselves before the Lord. Lord can see us. So if Lord is seeing us, how much better we should be presentable, right? So what, okay, dress we can iron and go, whatever, but what about our heart? So how much we can coat the heart? Right? So that's why we are praying, Lord, you know, I have, whenever we find such something like this coming up, it's actually, I always pray. It gives me so much impetus, you know. See, Krishna, I still have this habit. I thought one day, you know, I thought it's gone. But see, Krishna, I still have it. Oh, please let me, please help me, please help me.
So you were saying something about your envy against some devotee.
Huh.
How did you got over it?
Yeah, it's so painful actually to go through, you know. That's why, you know, sometimes Krishna lets you deal with it, you know, by just burning in it, you'll figure out it will,
yeah,
somehow. So main thing what I realized is, at least, you know, I prayed Krishna that, you know, at least I should not act out of envy. I know I have envious feeling towards a certain devotee. But when such situation happens, like, you know, somebody glorifies them or, you know, their person is in front of me, acting out of envy is so dangerous. You know, we could do anything actually to disrupt that person. As much as, you know, defame that person or, you know, especially I felt, you know, this thing came up again and again and again. Purposefully I felt, you know, Krishna really, really wants me to get rid of this. Because again and again for like years together, it was coming. Whenever somebody glorifies... Exactly, somebody has to glorify that person in front of me only. that's what I felt. No, I felt, you know, it's no way out. Somehow, and then it so happened that that person actually left the city. By the time I was purified of that envy. But there is no reason for me now. Now, actually, I so much appreciate the devotee and I, you know, glorify that person. Because I, hopefully, by Krishna's mercy, I got purified of. And, you know,
so
yeah,
what was your feeling at that time? Would you think that I'm also, you know, in service of Krishna and doing so much and meditation and everything, why doesn't that person praise me as much?
No, I was thinking, no, I couldn't tolerate somebody praising that person. That's envy.
Okay.
It's not about me, actually. It's about, there is envy and jealousy, right? There are two different things. I don't know how. Envy is like you don't want to see that person,
yeah,
better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy is you want to be like some. It's different.
Jealousy is something you already have, but you want more of it.
Envy
is even if you don't have it.
Exactly.
You
don't.
Want the other
you
person
don't
to
yes.
Have
yeah.
It.
You don't want the other person to flourish.
Even if you don't have it,
yeah,
that's fine. So that's dangerous. More dangerous than.
Yeah, it's more very very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Story.
Yeah.
And this envy, I feel like even in daily thing, especially when we have kids, and our kids are going to school, and we want our kids to be on top or whatever, and if there's another person or something, we feel how come they got it and we didn't get it. I feel that the envy comes more when it comes to the kids.
Yes.
How come she didn't get it or he got it and those kind of things. And like you said, it's only by reflecting, and I feel that I've gotten better than before, but long ways to go. But envy is something, I mean, it just burns you from inside.
It burns. It can burn our devotional service also. If we don't identify it and let it go and act out of envy, it can. But somehow, you know, Krishna helped me and I'm still chanting. Okay, so did we read the purport?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's so small.
Okay, Prabhu can.
Okay. The flaw of not being Krishna conscious is clearly stated herein. As there is punishment for disobedience to the order of the Supreme Executive Head, so there is certainly punishment for disobedience to the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead. A disobedient person, however great he may be, is ignorant of his own self and of the Supreme Brahman, Paramatma and the Personality of Godhead due to a vacant heart. Therefore, there is no hope of perfection of life for him.
So then, you know, we should be very, we should read this very carefully, you know. If we are out of envy, if we disregard his teachings, this is what is going to be our fate. This verse is for us, right? So then somebody may ask, you know, is Krishna, I feel somebody would ask one question. Is everybody okay with this verse?
I mean, the question that comes to my mind is, we are not born with this consciousness, right? This awareness is now coming to us by being exposed to a class like this. So, I mean, how can there be a severe punishment when, if there was a natural instinct and then you disobey it, then I can understand the punishment. But for people who are ignorant, I don't see this being justified.
Out of envy, disregard these teachings. Yeah, because they have already so much of envy that they are so covered. They are not even exposed to these teachings. They are already, you know, they are already bereft. They are already in this situation, ruined.
No, but like as a kid or while we are growing up, I mean, it's not like we are ruined or we were covered or something. We never knew about that. So why would there be a punishment for that?
So the punishment is, what Krishna is saying is, they will not reach perfection. So perfection according to Krishna is to attain the kingdom of God. So that's what we are facing, right? Because we don't have knowledge, we don't pursue that path. So we are so far away from perfection. So people who, you know, we were earlier, where we are not exposed to this knowledge, we don't even know that there is something called kingdom of God and we should go there. Because we are already in this state. We are already before.
They don't realize that they are being punished.
Yeah, they don't realize they are being punished. They feel actually, no, better you not talk about Krishna. If you talk about Krishna, you know, I feel, because I am not ready to do anything for Krishna. I don't want to hear about Krishna. Why are you, you know, calling me again and again to come to temples in your cousin? Right? They feel it's more punishment to hear about Krishna. So, but what Krishna is saying is, this is what is going to happen eventually. They will never achieve perfection.
Perfect.
So perfection is not in terms of material sense of perfection. Okay, I attain particular degree or particular position. That's what is perfection. Perfection according to Krishna is attaining the kingdom of God. Liberation. Because they don't have any knowledge of the self. So they are not going to perceive devotional service. And they are going to fail. That's what Prabhupada is saying. However great he may be, he is going to be ignorant of his own self. And similarly, you know, of Krishna. Then because of which there is no hope for perfection for him.
What are the questions you think you are going to ask?
I thought people will challenge. You know, people will say, you know, why is Krishna so cruel? Or, you know, Krishna is saying, you know, if you follow me, I'll give you this. If you don't follow me, you're damned. No, that's what I thought somebody will ask. Oh, it seems like you are all faithful.
Or ignorant. But it's his rule.
What is the answer to the question?
Answer to the question is, like, as Prabhupada is telling here, right?
as there is punishment for disobedience to the order of the supreme executive head. No, if the executive head is there, there are certain rules and regulations. These are all meant for a proper functioning of the society. Right? So if somebody obeys, there is some result. Somebody disobeys, there is some result. That has to be there. Right? So that's what Krishna is telling. But you know, but when we think about devotion, we don't want to be inspired to serve Krishna out of this
fear.
Out of fear. So this should not inspire us to, you know, start chanting about Krishna. We want to see Krishna as lovable Lord, you know, exchanging reciprocating with us.
This punishment means those karmic reactions.
Karmic reactions, or they will not be.
If you're doing good, you will get good. If you're doing bad, you will get bad.
Yeah. Yes. And also, they will not be ready to accept spiritual path. You know, they will be covered, basically. Bereft of all knowledge.
So, I think the connotation is not to perceive punishment as we usually in our day-to-day life think of punishment as some monetary penalty imposed on you or physical pain or something, but more of in terms of not gaining that knowledge,
yes.
Not achieving perfection.
Exactly, correct.
Not getting liberation out of
it. Yes, yes. And they don't even see that as a punishment. That's what is the other thing.
We would never really know about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mataji, I have a colleague. We used to go for a walk on lunch break. Then I would tell him, you know, if you realize God, then you don't have to come back here because there are a lot of suffering here. Then he says, you know, I don't have problem coming back here. I am enjoying my life.
Exactly. That's correct. Hare Krishna. You will stop here?
No, we need to do.